How many Catholics do we have here today? Episcopalian? Lutheran? Okay, nobody's excluded then. You can say amen. You could say all right. You could even say right on. It wouldn't offend me at all. So interactivity is a good thing. I want to talk about fatherhood. My name is Pastor Jerry. I serve at Hope Light Community Church in Newburgh. And I have to say the typical messages that I've heard about fatherhood, maybe not all of them, but most of them throughout the years, but the message I've heard about being a father have always contained something that is present, some story, some reference, something to produce guilt. Who knows what I'm talking about there? You know, just to produce guilt. You are such a rotten father. Nothing you've done is right. Nothing you've ever done has been right. Get on your knees because God demands perfection. You are guilty, 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 you dirty, rotten sinner, you. Who's been there? Yeah, just two of you. Oh, well, there's four of you. Okay. Let's be very clear. Condemnation is not the title of this message here today. Not at all. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And I have to trust that you know him, that you're born again from above, and that you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. If that's true, I do need you to raise so I know who I'm talking to. Have you done that? Has everybody done that? Good. Okay, everybody's done that. So we know where we stand. Because if I'm not talking to people who are born, again, this message does not apply. And you've got to know that up front. This message does not apply to people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So let's be clear. It's not about condemnation. I cannot convict you of anything any more than I can save you from anything. That's God's responsibility. I'm not him. The message I bring this morning, I really look forward to this because it's one of hope, one of encouragement, one of exhortation. And if anything comes out of my mouth that creates discomfort or the Holy Spirit convicts you of, don't be condemned about it. Just be free about it. Let it affect you. Let it change you. Recognize God is dealing with you, and he just wants to make your life better. He wants to actually give you abundant life. As a father that I hope most of you are, and I think most of you have probably been, you're so used to giving. Today is your turn to receive. So just let it free you. When God instructs us to behave differently than what we are, shouldn't it be that we just say, okay, Lord, you're right. You're God. I'm not. I'll let you change me and let's move on. I'm going to turn from my ways to yours. That's what we call repentance. When you turn from your ways to God's ways, that's called repentance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. So we've got to know that going in. Emancipation is for all of us because we're born again. So don't let anything keep you from the freedom that God wants you to experience in your life. And I mean anything. With that in mind, how many of us then remember this old expression, anyone can be a father, but it takes a special person to be a dad. We've seen that on cards. I mean, you were talking about T-shirts earlier. We see these things everywhere. And that's true in the sense of how we define titles in that sentence. But if we really look at the meaning of father as it pertains to humankind and in its original scriptural language, we find that a true father is a dad by default. It goes together. It's called agape love. It goes together. A true father is a dad. According to the definition, a true father is a nourisher, a protector, and an upholder. He's not a wimp. He's not a tyrant either. I would have to say and clarify, he's not supposed to be a wimp or he's not supposed to be a tyrant. But because you're born again from above, I trust that you're neither. I have to make that. You don't like to make assumptions, but I'm making that assumption in the presentation of this word here this morning. I would venture to guess that a good father is somewhere in between Dirty Harry and Mr. Rogers. Just right there, right in the middle. So even, that's a good image, John, isn't it? So even though a true father is a dad, defining fatherhood is not really our primary issue. Application is really the problem at hand, especially in our culture now and in this present age. I firmly hold to the belief that never before in all of history, Pastor Jason alluded to this, never before in all of history has there been such an all-out, concrete, universal assault on the home. Not like it is now. Never before. There is an assault going on. There's always a spiritual dynamic to everything we go through, especially as Christians. Always, always, always. So why do we keep looking for earthly solutions to spiritual problems? There's an assault on the home right now. There's always been historically documented times where conditions, as we see today, have combined to destroy certain cultures and certain nations, obviously. But I believe, and I have to emphasize that, my perception is that this has never before happened as it is now on such a worldwide magnitude. This is happening all over the world. The first initiative of the enemy's plan is to destroy the father. Think about it. If you look at it, just look, that's his first initiative. Think about everything that you've experienced and seen. That's the first initiative, to destroy the father and then redefine fatherhood, which in turn redefines family to be an institution which now operates outside of the Creator's purposes. Can I get an amen? Outside of what God designed it to be. Ignorance and confusion flourish on every side. And you alluded to that. I'm just kind of following up. Here's a sequel to Pastor Jason, I guess. But in the whole matter of what our home should be like, there's confusion on every side. On the matter of what fathers ought to do and how we ought to raise our children. And I know a lot of you here that you have raised your biological children, but you may be raising some other children. You're just not aware of it. You know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But as a society, we're torn between these conflicting schools of thought. Our so-called experts in the field can't even agree on what we're supposed to do as fathers. Some advocate intense discipline and direct control of all the growing experiences of our kids. Others have said, no, you got to remove all restrictions, let kids express themselves fully. Parental limitations only hinder and abort a healthy growing process. I think if Dr. Spock's dad was here today, he'd spank him. No, I mean, it's no wonder this is so important. It's so vital to examine. Because if our experts don't know, how are we supposed to know? And what are we supposed to do about it? And sometimes we just do the worst thing of all. We drift back and we drift forth through the mediums, you know, uncomfortably, without clarity between these two extremes. So we definitely need some guidelines that are specific, tangible, realistic, and even definitive. We need the truth about fatherhood. The family is the oldest institution known to humanity. It is meant to coexist with the human race, and the family came about a long time before these great institutions we've established. A long time, by a considerable amount of time. It predates human government. It predates our schools. It predates our churches. Human family predates almost everything. It's the foundation of humankind. And there could be no question, I think, in the mind of any Bible believer that the devil himself has launched an extreme campaign to destroy this God-created, God-ordained family life. This attack starts with the father. And if you look at just American culture alone, he's doing a pretty good job of it. He's doing a we minister in prisons. I minister in a lot of places where there are mostly disturbed children and kids. I get to minister to them, and you find out the common denominator with every single one of them is the father not being there, or the father being abusive, or there is no father to be known. That's the common denominator. The attack starts with the father. Why? Because the father is designed by the Creator Almighty to be the head of the family. Without that, there is no family. Now, there's a whole lot of particulars we can get into. We don't have time. But the enemy has convinced the fathers of this world that they should allow the breaking down of their responsibility, the breaking down of the instruction and the unity of the home. And then once that's broken down, it's replaced with dormitories. It's replaced with jail cells. The enemy is at work, and destruction is his goal. If we don't understand the spiritual dynamic about what's going on, we have no way to fight it. We don't have the ammunition we need to win this battle. There's a battle going on, guys. Home used to be a place that you could hang your hat. Now it's just a place for many people to hang their head. The first step in any victory is recognizing that this is all part of a satanic strategy. See, I said strategy. I wanted to see if you were listening. But it is, and I know I realize that sounds extreme to a lot of people, but you know what? To me, it's not extreme enough. It's a deliberate planned attack to destroy the home. Why? Why now more than ever before? My perception tells me it's because we're getting that much closer to the return of Jesus the Christ. That's my perception. The enemy is making the way for Scripture to be fulfilled, and he's too self-absorbed, he's too self-focused to realize it. And even if he does realize it, he wouldn't admit it. He wouldn't admit it. The prophecy I'm referring to is written throughout the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. So I just want to quote it to you from Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. I firmly believe this is why the enemy's efforts have been intensified, because of this prophecy. This is a sermon all by itself, but I just briefly and quickly mention a little bit about it. As evidenced in the entire Bible, the great and terrible day, and dreadful day of the Lord is it. That's it. That's not the apocalypse like we see in the movies. It's the end of things, yes, as we know them, but then it's the beginning of the start of everything brand new. But before that day can come, all these things that Jesus talked about are going to happen, but so is this. This prophecy is going to take place. This mission is to prepare the way of the Lord by turning the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children back to their fathers. I see this as the healing of the family and the restoration of the home of the lives of God's own people. The reestablishment of a genuine, real life family and everything that God set up to go along with that. Now, I'm speaking to the body of Christ here, because redemption is only found in Jesus. He genuinely is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Genuinely, realistically, tangibly, the breaking of fatherhood, the broken father, is a sign of the close return of Jesus. And the repair of our homes, the fixing of that problem, is a sign that his return is even closer than it was yesterday. I believe that's why the enemy's efforts have intensified. He is out of time, and desperation has set in. Now, I'm also a licensed counselor, and you've got to know I see many, 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 many people whose problems result from a broken home. And so you know a lot of people like that. You may be one of them. It's a broken home. Well, the fixing of that problem is a sign that Jesus is coming back. He's out of time. Jesus is coming back soon, and he's getting us ready through fatherhood. Physically, spiritually, and figuratively, fathers are the beginning of that miracle. Why do I say that? When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, what's the first thing he said? Say, our Father. Our Father. God is the ultimate example of this. Since faith without works is dead, then what's our work then? What are we supposed to do about this? What are we supposed to do as men and as fathers? Well, I think I'm about to blow away all the psychology that you've heard for the past 50 years. It is not about quality time. It is about quantity time. It's not about, as a born-again man of God, your time's already quality. It should be quantity time. Spend time with each other. Spend time with each other. That's the key. Quantity is quality. The value of committing to an abundance of time with our children cannot be minimized. It's never too late. I've got to repeat that. It's never too late. The best way to be able to accomplish spending time with your children is to establish a foundation that promotes that objective. And I'm about to give you that. You know, we're Americans. We want the pill. Give me a pill for that. Give me the magic solution. Let me nuke it so in 15 seconds I got everything I need to make it through this life. Well, I'm about to give that to you right now. One scripture, one verse will give you the solution. Joshua 2:4. Out of Joshua chapter 24, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's our responsibility, and we've shirked it. We've shirked it. Look what's happened. The wife was never meant to be the husband. The husband was never meant to be the wife. The mother was never designed to be the father. The father was never designed to be the mother. We've shirked our responsibility. The father is the head of the house. That's how God designed it. Nothing wrong with that. Take that responsibility and walk in it. And the example is God. The father is the head of the house. The father. We have this responsibility as head of our families to be the solid rock, the chief cornerstone, and build on him. We have the responsibility to choose life. We have the obligation to communicate our choice to ourselves, to the world all around us, but especially to our own family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God gives the perfect example of this application. Just let me interpret his love for us just for a second as a father. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Father, and what about the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem? Not to mention the one that Friday at Calvary. Whenever you want to talk to him, he'll listen. Whenever you want him to be there, he will be there. He can live anywhere in the universe, but he chooses to live in your heart. Face it, he's the ultimate father, and he's crazy about you. He's crazy about you. That's our example. Quantity is quality because of who the father is. You don't have to be anybody but who you are, and that's a born again from heaven, born again from above, child of God. Quantity is quality because of who you are now. As for me and my house, and you just wonder, what is it about that we just don't get, you know? Do we not see the results of a dad's decision not to serve God? Do we not see that? I think our country has become blind, but the greatest tragedy of our society is the failure of fathers to take on the God-created responsibility of serving Him, which is lived out in biblical parenthood when you become a father. Now, if I was just talking to the world, I'd go a different direction, but I'm talking to the body of Christ here. This is rampant in the body of Christ. Men, we've stepped aside and let our women take our responsibility. We've stepped aside and let somebody else step in and take our responsibility. It's happening all around us. We have forgotten that God's plan for training our children is in the family. There are no fathers in over 40% of our American homes. 40% there are no fathers. And experts are just scratching their head. We don't know what the problem is. We just don't know. We can't figure. Well, here, give them this pill. Give them that pill. Let's send them to therapy. We just don't know. The problem is there's no fathers in over 40% of our homes. One out of three children born today are born into homes without fathers. We've forgotten that God designed this so that a mother and a father, both present, both would take on the role of an example to a child. Both of them. Not one or, either or, both of them. And I realize, and so does God, I realize there are family situations in the body of Christ where there's no biological father. And then I also realize that mom's expected to marry a man just to fill the parental role. Well, that's scripturally ridiculous. And I think you know that's true. The awareness here, the objective in any of these type of circumstances, the objective is to make sure that there is, at the very least, a man in a child's life that assumes those aspects of fatherhood which help raise him according to the Creator's plan. It could be grandpa. It could be uncle. It could be a social worker. It could be a brother in Christ. Whoever. The point is, we have to make sure it is our responsibility to make sure that our biological and spiritual female counterparts do not fall into this new age so-called enlightened thinking that redefines the family structure and tells them that a biblical man is not necessary. That is a lie. Straight from the pit. The Creator of this universe says that children are to be taught by a mother and a father. This is how we follow the Scripture when it tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. Boys learn to be biblical men from being exposed to and surrounded by biblical manhood. It doesn't come by osmosis or by reading a book. It's by they need to be surrounded by it. Girls learn how to choose a biblical husband based on what they see from a biblical man in their life. Children watch and children copy. They are sponges, and the only way for that to happen is for them to spend time with who it is they're imitating. That's the only way. No amount of political correctness, no amount of so-called tolerance is going to change the truth. God is the sponsor of the fatherhood show, and any other program is going to be canceled. It's going to be canceled when he comes back. There's no condemnation. You have to remember that. If you're committed to being a scriptural father, then celebrate with me. If you need to allow change to happen in your life something for God to do in you and through you for you to change, then celebrate with me. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you're not a father yet, you still need to know the truth so that you can be ready when you are one. If you're one of those guys, one of those children who grew up without a father, or you had a rotten father, you need to hear this truth also. You need to forgive. You need to forget. You need to move on and thank the Lord that you made it through and be the father that you always wanted. Besides, you've always had the best father, and you probably didn't even realize it. Psalm 68:5 is absolute in truth. God is a father to the fatherless. Praise God. I know this to be absolutely true. We should instill so much of ourselves into our children that we, when we are not physically with them, we're still there. God's the example of that. God is the example of that. And if you think it's too late, you need to go back sometime this weekend. You need to go back and revisit Scripture and the study of God's holy word. It is never, never, never too late. Never too late. As for me and my house, this is our obligation. This is our responsibility to our children. There are so many good things awaiting the father who obeys the Lord God. God's plan is that the father be a visible example and teacher to his children, not an absentee. Visible example. In spite of current thinking, it takes a real man to make a commitment and live by it. Listen, if you have more important things to do than lead your family, if your job comes before your wife and your children, if all of your energy is directed to anything other than raising your children right, if you're pursuing money, houses, cars, and material things more than you are pursuing the spiritual well-being of your family, you are not a real man. Not scripturally. No condemnation, just a fact, Jack. It's a fact. You're a father, and God designed you to be responsible. This is hard stuff, but it's the truth. We need to tell every selfish, weak, need, wimpy, whiny, uninspiring, uninvolved father to stand up and be a man. Yeah, I get passionate about this because we need it. Somebody needs to smack us in the back of the head. Somebody needs to wake us up. Be a man. How about another bonus punch right here? How about a punch right here? The psychology of telling a man to get in touch with their feminine side probably came from Richard Simmons. And another thing, I mean, I got to say this while I'm saying it. I was once a man trapped in a woman's body, but she gave birth. It's just ridiculous. The stuff we're hearing is ridiculous. DNA is DNA. It's just ridiculous. We were created by God Almighty to fulfill this position of fatherhood. If you need to get in touch with your feminine side, just get married. It really is that simple. And real men, and I'm just saying this to encourage you, but real men do express. Real men do have emotions. Real men have nothing holding them back because real men know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We are entering into a time in our culture where it's going to take a real man to stand up and say, yes, I serve Jesus. Yes, I believe in God. It's going to take a real man to do that. Never before in the history of our country has it been like it is now. And it's going to get worse. But it's a good thing. No guilt, no condemnation. I want to start to close by giving you more what the biblical idea of fatherhood is. When you get a chance, if you got something to write this down. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. When you get a chance later today, read that. You will discover all the attributes of a scriptural father in that passage, and they'll come alive for you. According to Scripture, a father is wise, compassionate, expresses his emotions freely. He's humble. He takes initiative to make things right. He's patient. He's understanding. And he's firm. He's an imitator of God. That's God. That's real fatherhood. And just like a true father, the true father, we will lay down our lives for our family. The father who follows God is going to make every effort to spend time with his children, leading, guiding, teaching, counseling. And you're only able to do that because you're going to be letting the Holy Spirit do through you anyway. But it requires your physical presence for that to happen. This is biblical fatherhood. Let's take time to honor God together for the rest of this day for the dad that did and does stick around. Let's take time to praise God for the dad that did and does serve him. Let's glorify God for the men who admit in their heart that they've not followed God's plan but are now aware of the right thing to do and they're going to be doing it. Let's glorify God and thank him that we have made it this far in our lives and we're still here. God still allows us to take another breath. Let's thank God together that some of us, even though we didn't have biological fathers growing up, we know that hurt can be healed and God can fill that role. God will make a way for you to be there, a father figure, if you let him in your life. That's who he is. He knows what you need. That's who he is. Let's all look up to Father God and worship him together. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. If you're not a father yet, someday you're going to have the opportunity to be a dad. Either biological, adoption, by proxy, you're going to be a dad one way or another. Even if it's just in the spiritual family, your fellowship. Maybe it's happening and you're not even aware of the fact that maybe we're all going to be, or we already are, some type of father. Now I'm going to ask you just to do something here as I close. I'm going to repeat after me, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it loud enough for the neighbors to hear it. As for me and my house. As for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. That is biblical fatherhood. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can be seated.